Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Men in Science podcast. I do sincerely hope you all are having a lovely weekend. We'll have an even better weekend, or whatever day that you're listening to this. Hope your day has been a lovely one so far. Please make sure to subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Castbox, Radio Public, or YouTube. And please make sure to follow me on Twitter at IamFozitude for any and all future podcast information. And this episode is all about the annual D23 Disney Expo, or rather Disney D23 Expo, and there were quite a few interesting things to come out of it, to say the least. Now, I'm going to break everything down into categories by brand, so that it'll be much easier to run through, you know, such as, you know, Star Wars and Disney and Marvel and little miscellaneous category for everything else. But I won't be discussing everything from the event, because then I'd be up here for about 4 hours, and I just do not have that kind of energy with talking. Instead, I will cover the stuff that I've seen getting the most attention, and everything that I'll be reading comes directly from D23's website, so that I can provide you all with the most accurate information possible. Alright, that's enough rambling, let's get right into this. Yes, the return of the transitional cues. Anyway, first up we have is the, as you heard, the Star Wars category, and we have The Mandalorian, the highly anticipated show from producer and, well, yeah, executive producer or creator, Jon Favreau, whatever the fuck. Anyways, as it states on the D23 website, Dave Filoni was nice enough to bring me over to Star Wars Celebration. I've never been there before, and now it's my chance to bring him to his first D23, said brand new Disney legend Jon Favreau, because they had the Disney Legends celebration. And oh, and the links to all this stuff, plus everything else that I'm not going to be talking about, will be in the description for the podcast, in case y'all want to read more of that. Anyways, returning to that, Disney legend Jon Favreau, who was joined by fellow executive producer Filoni on the Hall D23 stage to introduce The Mandalorian. Because here, we've got Star Wars fans, right? And we've also got fans, Marvel fans, too. And most of all, we've got Disney fans. Favreau and Filoni also revealed how they came together on the first ever Star Wars live-action series. Years ago, both were working at the Skywalker Ranch, Filoni on Clone Wars and Favreau on what Filoni jokingly referred to as a tiny movie about an obscure comic book called Iron Man. When Favreau requested a sneak peek at the then top secret Star Wars animated series, Filoni was happy to oblige, if he could also enjoy a first look at Iron Man. And the rest, as they say, is about to become streaming history. The producers were joined in Hall D23 by series stars Pedro Pascal, Gina Carano, Carl Weathers, and Giancarlo Esposito. Seriously, that guy, he is just everywhere this year, this time around. As well as Taika Waititi, who brings the droid IG-11 to life to premiere the teaser trailer for the first ever Star Wars live-action series. Earlier today, again, this is all directly from the website. Earlier today, Disney chairman and CEO Bob Iger also announced that new Disney legend Ming-Na Wen will join the cast of the series. Set after the fall of the Empire and before the emergence of the First Order, The Mandalorian follows the travels of a lone gunfighter in the outer reaches of the galaxy, far from the authority of the New Republic. You can see the incredible trailer for yourself below, it's again, linked to all that in the description, and binge the series on Disney Plus beginning November 12th, 2019. Now, as of course you all already know, either by the podcast or just knowing me outside of this, you know that I am a big Star Wars fan, and I would even go as far to say that Star Wars is my all-time favorite movie franchise, favorite sci-fi franchise, all that good shit. And I am definitely excited to see The Mandalorian when it does premiere. And also, by the way, the Disney Plus, if y'all haven't checked it out already, it's going to be supposed to be $6.99 a month. I don't know if they're going to have like different tiers of service like Netflix and Hulu have. But starting at $6.99 a month, Disney Plus, hey, I'm right there for that. And I can't wait to see The Mandalorian, and it's gonna be awesome. And Jon Favreau, I know not a lot of people liked his quote unquote live action Lion King, but he is a great writer, director, producer, so I have faith in him to give us a brilliant product with The Mandalorian. We also have on my little list here Star Wars: The Clone Wars. Yes, that is right. And as it states, the Emmy Award-winning animated series will return with 12 all-new episodes and will mark the return of classic characters Anakin Skywalker, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and fan favorite Ahsoka Tano and Captain Rex, premiering in February 2020. That is going to be awesome, and I cannot wait for that because the Clone Wars series is, other than the live-action films themselves, one of the best products to come from Star Wars. And if you've never seen the Clone Wars series, you are seriously missing out, and I cannot wait for its return. And other one, just under the headline, it's a second Lucasfilm live-action series. It is Diego Luna and Alan Tudyk will reprise their roles of Cassian Andor. I think that's how it's pronounced. I haven't seen Rogue One in a while. And K2SO, respectively, from Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, in this, the second live-action series from Lucasfilm for Disney Plus. The series, currently in development, follows Andor's adventures as a rebel spy during the formative years of the rebellion before the events of A New Hope. We're going to look younger, laughed Luna, noting that the show is a prequel to Rogue One. We're going to look gorgeous, Tudyk added good-naturedly. And of course, Rogue One was a is an awesome film. Diego Luna, I am a big fan of his. Alan Tudyk is brilliant. If you haven't seen Doom Patrol on DC Universe streaming service, you should definitely check out Doom Patrol because Alan Tudyk as Mr. Nobody is one of the best parts of that show. Not just that, Alan Tudyk is just a brilliant actor in general. So, but yeah, that's another one that I'm looking forward to seeing. Not sure what the name is going to be called. I hope it's not going to be just like some of the other Disney Plus shows where it's just either a combination of the character names or just the names, just like Andor and K2SO, but we'll see. And then the other one, which is to me probably the biggest news to come out of all this, Obi-Wan Kenobi in a And as it says here, in a force-filled moment that literally brought the fans and Hall D23 to their feet, Lucasfilm President Kathleen Kennedy welcomed Ewan McGregor to the stage to announce his return to the role of Obi-Wan Kenobi in a new untitled series from Lucasfilm. And that one, again, it's untitled as it says, and no premiere date as of yet, but Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi was no doubt the best thing to happen to come out of the prequel trilogy. Because Ewan McGregor is a brilliant actor, we already know that. But his performance as Obi-Wan Kenobi, like I said, was no doubt the best part of the prequel trilogy. And we've been wanting him to come back as Obi-Wan for years in a standalone film or whatever we were going to get. He's been campaigning for it for a long time as well. And even saying in the on stage, I saw a cell phone video of it that he asked Kathleen Kennedy like, for these fans, can you formally ask me to if I want to be Obi-Wan Kenobi again? And she does, and then he just goes, yes. And of course, the fans went nuts. They loved it, and it's just I cannot see. I'm sorry, I cannot wait to see what we get from that one. And like capping off the Star Wars category, we have the highly anticipated, at least by me, conclusion of the Skywalker saga coming this December, The Rise of Skywalker. And as stated on D23's website, Horn, which is one of the producers or people that's in charge of D23, welcomed Lucasfilm President Kathleen Kennedy, whom he described as our Yoda. A lot of fans are going to hate that one. And Star Wars: Rise of Skywalker director, writer, producer J.J. Abrams to the hall. D23 stage to celebrate the end of a saga that began 40 years ago. Well, at this point, it's 42 years ago, but they were soon joined by nine stars from the film, returning cast members Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, Oscar Isaac, Anthony Daniels, Junice Soramaro, Kelly Marie Tran, and Billy Dee Williams, and newcomers to the galaxy far, far away, Naomi Ackie and Kerry Russell. We have genuinely become a family over these last few years. we're done making these movies, and it's crazy to think in a few short months The Rise of Skywalker will be in theaters. We had the best time, said Rey herself, Daisy Ridley. And neither Aki or Russell could reveal much about the tremendous anticipated film. The main thing is my son actually thinks I'm cool now, Russell shared as she revealed this description of her character, Zori. She's very cool and a little bit shady. Sorry, I had a little bit of, you know, moment there. But anyways, returning to the Millennium Falcon for one last adventure, actor Billy Dee Williams told fans, Lando has never left me, and being here all these years, these 40 years, is a very special experience for me. Anthony Daniels, who plays our favorite protocol droid, shared, it's kind of hard for me to understand that this story is ending, but what an ending. And the last bit on here, the character of Leia is the heart of the story, said Abrams, who came onto the film after the passing of Disney legend Carrie Fisher. Fans will see Leia in The Rise of Skywalker through new footage that had been shot for Episode 7 that has never been seen before, and Abrams shared a surprising story that made Fisher's involvement in the new film seem inevitable. The director recalls reading the dedication of the final book Fisher wrote, The Princess Diarist, in which the actress and talented writer thanked Abrams for putting up with her twice. In fact, he had only worked with Fisher once, until now. Today, fans got to see a look back at the incredible legacy of Star Wars storytelling with an exclusive sneak peek at what will no doubt be an amazing conclusion to the Skywalker saga, along with a brand new poster. Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker opens in U.S. theaters on December 20, 2019. And if y'all seen the D23 trailer that they released, I believe it was earlier on Monday, and started off like the first 30 to 45 seconds was a recap of the previous films, you know, New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith, Force Awakens, The Last Jedi. But one thing I noticed when they were showing the stuff from the prequels, when it got to Attack of the Clones, the only parts that they showed were Anakin and Padme kissing, and then like one shot of the clone army, and then that was it. But the others, they showed plenty of footage. I guess it says a lot about that film that they only showed them kissing and the clone army. Meanwhile, Revenge of the Sith showed several clips. Phantom Menace showed several clips. Last Jedi and Force Awakens showed several clips from those as well. But yeah, Attack of the Clones only got those two. I just thought that was funny. But yeah, if you've seen the trailer after the recap of the previous 8 films, we get into the footage of from the Rise of Skywalker. And if you haven't seen it yet, there's a slight little spoiler that I'm going to talk about. Although a lot of people have their fan theories regarding it, there's a shot at the end of the trailer where Rey is wearing a black robe, very much like a Sith Lord robe, and she's wielding a double-edged lightsaber like Darth Maul with the red, but that it's like a fold-out kind of staff where like it looks like it's she's holding two, but then she lets go and it's one whole long staff of a lightsaber, which looked awesome, looked really cool. I felt that it was maybe a slight spoiler, but at the same time, we don't know what the context is of that particular shot. Some are speculating that it's a fantasy sequence, it's a vision from something else. Who knows what it's going to be? But I am excited so much to see this because I've been a Star Wars fan my entire life. It's like basically with my brothers and my cousins, it's like a rite of passage for a lot of us to have seen all the Star Wars films. And you know, I wish I could have seen all of them in theaters, like seen the original trilogy, and then the special edition trilogy in 97. Because I've seen the prequels, and I've seen the newer ones in theaters. It just would have been great to see the original trilogy. My oldest brother has gotten to see all the Star Wars films, all the original trilogy, special edition trilogy, prequel trilogy, the new trilogy, the solo stories, as the Star Wars solo films as well, you know, Rogue One and all that. And I'm a little envious of that, but you know, I get to experience them regardless of where the location is. And Big fan of films that I am. Star Wars has, I'll go ahead and say Star Wars is a franchise that did change my life very much for the better, and to see this story come to a definitive conclusion, well, the Skywalker saga come to a conclusion at least, is something that I don't know if I'm emotionally prepared for, but I will definitely be there for that opening weekend, December 20th, for Rise of Skywalker. And next up, we have the Marvel lineup from D23. So first up, we have some new Marvel TV shows that were announced for Disney Plus. And as I read, Marvel Studios president and proud D23 member Kevin Feige announced three new live-action series that originate from Marvel Comics, which are currently in development for Disney Plus. The opportunities that Disney Plus is bringing to the MCU, Marvel Cinematic Universe, to grow and to evolve and to expand are tremendous, Feige said. Stay tuned for more details about Ms. Marvel, Moon Knight, and She-Hulk. Now, those are all three, at least to me, very popular characters, and I know a little bit about Ms. Marvel. Moon Knight is pretty cool. He's basically Marvel's answer to Batman. And She-Hulk is, of course, She-Hulk. And I was a fan of all of those characters through the comic books. I was, like I said, I'm more familiar with Moon Knight and She-Hulk. Ms. Marvel, I know of her backstory, but I mean, not enough to where I could say I'm a fan of her. Moon Knight, just like I said, he's basically Marvel's Batman. And She-Hulk is, She-Hulk. And as of right now, there's no casting news for who's gonna play any of them. And of course, no date for when those shows are gonna premiere or even when the production will start. But most likely, since they got the other ones in production, like, the Hawkeye, on all the other shows that I'll be getting to in a little bit, going from premiering from like next year, 2020 to 2021, I imagine these will show up either late 2021 or late 20 or in early 2022, But just gotta stay tuned and see what they give us for those. And the other one that we have on here is Spidey and His Amazing Friends, or Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. Our favorite neighborhood web slinger is used to working solo, but now Peter Parker must discover what it takes to become a truly amazing superhero, being a spider friend who works well with others. Together with his friends Miles Morales and Gwen, aka Ghost Spider, they will team up with the heroes such as Hulk, Black Panther, and Ms. Marvel to defeat evil foes and learn that teamwork is the best way to save the day. I mean, usually the Spider-Man cartoons have always been pretty good, in my opinion. I haven't seen too many of the recent ones, but from the little bit that I have seen, they are very good. And I don't know how many fans of Spider-Man of today, like the newer fans, or just fans of, over the last 20 years, if they're familiar with the original Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends cartoon with Fire Girl and Iceman, but. I was very young when it was brand new, but I did get to see a lot of the reruns for it, and it was a very fun show. So, and if it's gonna be anything like that, then I very much look forward to seeing what they give us for this one. And the next one that we have up on here is Falcon and Winter Soldier, and as it reads, following the events of Marvel Studios' Avengers Endgame, Falcon and Winter Soldier, played by Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan respectively, team up. During today's presentation, Kevin Feige revealed that Emily Van Camp will reprise her role as Sharon Carter and introduced Wyatt Russell, who will portray John Walker, a Marvel Comics character, duh, for the first time on screen. Carey Skoglund directs and Malcolm Spellman serves as head writer, premiering in 2021. And if you've seen the poster for it, you see that Bucky seems to have reverted back to his old haircut that he had in the first Captain America film, and is clean shaven again. I don't know how the the Bucky fangirls are gonna react to that because they love the long-haired, scruffy-looking Bucky. But you know, I guess they just will just have to. They'll probably love it anyway, so fuck it. But I mean, I'm interested to see how it's gonna work out, especially with a Baron Zemo returning, and he's gonna have the purple mask this time around. So I'm just curious to see what the overall story for that first season, at least, is gonna be. Because I don't know, because since these Disney Plus Marvel shows are gonna actually connect with the movies, unlike the Marvel Netflix shows, Daredevil, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, and Iron Fist. These are actually gonna acknowledge the movies and be connect with the movies, which sucks for the Netflix Marvel shows. But you know, we kind of figured that they were not gonna, you know, interact with the movies. So, but yeah, that one premieres sometime in 2021, and you know, we'll see what we get out of that. Probably by next year's San Diego Comic Con, we'll get an official trailer or a teaser trailer for that one, because I imagine they'll have already been in production by then. And the other pretty much highly anticipated Marvel show is What If? And Marvel Studios upcoming rather animated series spotlights different heroes from the Marvel Cinematic Universe and imagines what happens if the events in the films had turned out differently, how a single choice can branch out into infinite realities. And Hayley Atwell, who will voice Peggy Carter in What If, joined director Brian Andrews and head writer Ashley Bradley today in Hall D23. It feels like the gift that keeps on giving, said Atwell, regarding the opportunity to give life to the character in this new way. And she credits the fans for their love for Peggy. They brought her back, she shared, premiering in 2021. And if you've seen the images from this particular panel, the image for the What If with Peggy Carter is what if she became Captain Britain? And since that's, you know, the first example that they gave us with the show, I'm really curious to see what other, you know, what ifs that we get from some of these characters. Especially since the actors that played them in the movies are supposed to be voicing them on the show. Which is going to be a very interesting, very, very interesting story, or potential of stories, rather. I don't know if you can hear my cat in the background. She is in heat, so if you start hearing loud meows, that is what's going on. And yeah, as you already know, she's made quite a few appearances on this one. So yeah. And the next one up on the Marvel itinerary that I have on here is WandaVision. As Vision and Wanda Maximoff, Paul Bettany and Elizabeth Olsen, play two super beings trying to live ideal suburban lives, until they begin to suspect that things are not as they seem in this series that Feige describes as half classic sitcom and half epic MCU adventure. Bettany and Olsen made a surprise appearance at D23 Expo and joined Kat Dennings and Randall Park, who will reprise their roles from Thor and Ant-Man and the Wasp. They'll also be joined by Catherine Hahn, who will play a new character in the series. They didn't say who it was. As the scripts keep rolling in, it's so funny, and it just ends up being this huge epic. The writing is so extraordinary, Bettany said. Matt Shakman serves as director, with Jack Schaefer on board as lead writer, premiering in 2021. Now, the fact that they described it as half classic sitcom and half epic MCU adventure, just, I'm not really sure, like, how that's gonna look. Like when I was watching a Film Junkies video talking about it, like, are they gonna have, like, you know, is it gonna be like an actual sitcom, like Friends, where they're gonna have a laugh track, and then every now and then there's gonna be some epic fights and shit? I don't know, it's a very weird way to describe it. And that they're trying to live an ideal suburban life. Like, but just, Vision died in Infinity War, so because the first description I read about the show is that it was supposed to take place between Civil War and Infinity War, but The way they're describing it here is just, I'm not really sure what to think of it now. I mean, of course I'll check it out, but we'll see what other information that comes out in the future. Next up, we have Loki. Tom Hiddleston returns to play the fan favorite villain Loki in a series set after the events of Avengers Endgame. Kate Herron directs this eagerly anticipated series centered on the God of Mischief with Michael Waldron as head writer. In a video greeting to D23 Expo guests, Hiddleston promised, "It's your boundless enthusiasm and your support that mean that Loki still has more story left to tell, and it will never stop surprising and delighting me that you think he's cool. This journey isn't over yet. In fact, it's only just begun." Premiering 2021. And that rhymed. Since, if you've seen Endgame, you will know that when they're in the 2012 part of the story, going back to retrieve all the stones, Loki, from that era, gains possession of the Tesseract and whoop, disappears. So there's all kinds of potential of mischievous stories that he can engage in, which, of course, a lot of the Loki fangirls that I've seen all over Twitter and Instagram and Tumblr, that they're definitely going to have fun with this show. And next up on here, we have Black Panther 2. Ryan Coogler, director and co-writer of the only Marvel Studios film to be nominated for an Oscar for Best Picture, funny how they have to just throw that in there, joined Feige to reveal that a sequel to Black Panther is officially in the works. Scanning a treatment, Feige and Coogler agreed that it was too early to share a title, or the opening scene, or a description of the film's villain. But what could they share? A release date. Mark May 6, 2022 on your calendar. Of course, it's not just going to be Black Panther 2, there's going to be a subtitle to it, because after Iron Man 3, all the sequels have had a subtitle to them. Except the Guardians movies. They've been Guardians 1, they've been Guardians of the Galaxy, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. But besides those, all the other films have had a subtitle to them. And a lot of stuff that I've been hearing from like other news sites regarding Black Panther 2, there's a lot of speculation that Namor, Submariner, is going to be in the Black Panther sequel, which if he is, that is awesome. I've been wanting to see him in live action for a very, very, very long time. But who can play him? I mean, when I spoke with one of my friends a while back, what he said is like, "Well, I know one actor who could play Namor, but he's already playing Aquaman, obviously Jason Momoa." But the more I thought about it, I mean, if he's up for it, maybe Keanu Reeves could be Namor. I don't know, or Namor. I don't know. Is it Namor or Namor? Just Submariner there. Because that's his nickname. He's Namor the Submariner. If Keanu Reeves is up for it, maybe he could do the movie. But yeah, we'll see. But yeah, May 6, 2022, Black Panther 2. Of course, Chadwick Boseman's gonna come back, and whatever remaining characters that survived Infinity War and Endgame, they'll be back. We'll see. Next up, we have Eternals. We've pulled back the cosmic curtain on the MCU in ways you can't imagine, Feige said before he brought the cast of Marvel Studios' The Eternals to the stage. Richard Madden, who portrays the all-powerful Icarus, Kumail Nanjiani, who plays cosmic-powered Kingo, Lauren Ridloff, or Ridloff, or I don't know, who portrays the super-fast Makkari, the first deaf hero in the MCU. Brian Tyree Henry, who plays the intelligent inventor Fastos, Salma Hayek, who plays the wise and spiritual leader Ajak or Ajak. Leah McHugh, who portrays the eternally young old soul Sprite. Don Lee, who plays the powerful Gilgamesh. And Angelina Jolie, who stars as the fierce warrior Thena. In addition to revealing concept art of images of each character, Feige announced three additional cast members: the humankind-loving Cersei, to be played by Gemma Chan; aloof loner Druig, to be played by Barry Keoghan; and non-Eternal Dane Whitman, who Feige confirmed will be played by Kit Harington, who of course we all know as Jon Snow from Game of Thrones. Chloe Zhao directs the film, which opens in U.S. theaters November 6, 2020. So we're going to be released in just over a year, so they're going to be starting production very soon. And if I'm being honest, I mean, even though it has a few actors that I do like, I am a fan of, I'm honestly not really sold on the movie yet. But whenever we do get that first trailer for the film, maybe I'll feel different. But we'll see when that day comes. And last up on the Marvel category is Marvel's Hero Project. And all that's here for the description says, the first produced non-fiction unscripted series by Marvel New Media, Marvel's Hero Project, will premiere with the launch of Disney Plus on Tuesday, November 12th. The remaining episodes will be released weekly on Fridays, starting with episode 2 on Friday, November 15th. That's all they had for description for that when I was reading the information about the show from their website, and I don't know, just if they updated it since the last time I checked, because I copied and pasted all these notes onto my little Word document to read all this for you guys. So again, links will be in the description. You can just check those out and see for yourselves. And next up, we have the Disney portion of this one. For me, I have notes. All of it is owned by Disney, but this one is the Disney category. First up, we have the live-action Lady and the Tramp, which, I'll be honest, I didn't even know what was happening, but here we are. The canine stars of the film, Rose, Lady, and Monty, Tramp, joined Yvette Nicole Brown for a positively... unforgettable moment from the presentation that included the premiere of the first trailer from the original film. In the timeless retelling of the 1955 animated classic, a pampered house dog and a tough but lovable stray embark on an unexpected adventure and, despite their differences, grow closer and come to understand the value of home. Take a gander at the first trailer below. You'll fall in love with the precious pups, as Yvette Nicole Brown did. Brown revealed that one of Rose's doubles, Harley, found a forever home with her. Aw, that's sweet. Streaming on Disney Plus November 12, 2019. I know a lot of fans are not, keen on the live-action Disney films, particularly the Lion King, which, and my review for that is on here if you haven't checked that out. I mean, I enjoyed it. I mean, it was definitely not as great as the original animated from 1994, but I still enjoyed it very much. And if it's grossed, $1.5 billion, which is just insane to me, but more power to them. And I mean, the trailer, it looked cute. I mean, I love dogs, so it'd be nice to, I'll definitely check it out. I don't know if I'm going to like it as much as the animated one, but we'll see, come November 12th. And the other one we have is a film, Cruella, which, again, another one I had no idea was even happening. And the description reads, alas, Cruella star Emma Stone was not spotted in Anaheim, California today, but she sent a special greeting from the film's London-based set, where production has just gotten underway. Bailey offered a first look at Stone as Cruella, I don't know who Bailey is, sharing an image of the actress in full costume with Cruella's signature black and white hair. Emma Thompson also stars in the movie, along with some four-legged canine co-stars, one of whom joined Stone for her special message to Disney fans. Craig Gillespie, I, Tanya, and the Finest Hours, brings a fresh 1970s punk rock approach to Cruella, which opens May 28th, 2021. And the image will be in the link as well. And I love Emma Stone. I have been a fan of hers ever since the first time I saw her. I believe it was in the film Superbad. Don't think that was her first film, but that was the first one I watched her in, and I've been a fan of hers ever since then, with Zombieland and The Help, well, The Amazing Spider-Man and Amazing Spider-Man 2, La La Land, and other films, Birdman, she was great in that one. And I know some people are probably not going to be, because I've already seen people complaining about it, cause saying that they're all, the only Cruella, for live-action Cruella for them, is either Glenn Close from the 90s 101 Dalmatians film, or from Once Upon a Time on ABC. I didn't get to see the version on Once Upon a Time, so I don't know if I would like her, but a lot of people were saying that those are the only live-action Cruellas that they acknowledge, which, you know, I get it, that's their preference, good for them, I'm not gonna tell them they're wrong, but, like I said, I'm an Emma Stone fan, so I'm gonna give this one a chance when it comes out in 2 years. And next up we have is Raya and the Last Dragon. Lee, again, you click the links in the description, you'll get the full rundown of all the stuff. So any information that's missing, you know, it'll be there. Which joined by director Paul Briggs and Dean Wellens, Big Hero 6 and Frozen. Big Hero 6, great film. Frozen, very overrated. Producer Osnat Shure from Moana, great film. And writer Adele Lim, Crazy Rich Asians, I have not seen that. To introduce the fantasy action adventure Raya and the Last Dragon, the film tells the story of Raya, a lone warrior from the fantasy kingdom of Kumandra, or Kumandra, I don't know how it's pronounced, who teams up with a crew of misfits in her quest to find the Last Dragon and bring light and unity back to their world. Lin, a lifelong Disney fan who was born and raised in Southeast Asia, said, "Disney was a magical transporting presence in my life. She grew up watching Disney animated films, but noted when my cousins and I were not watching Disney movies on VHS." Yeah, remember those VHS Disney tapes? I do, and the big-ass little plastic containers that were like books. Anyways, we lived for Hong Kong action movies where young girls could still put the beat down on bad guys. So this movie is a combination of both those genres, which I love. Which all of us love. The Hall D23 audience met two newly announced members of the voice cast. Awkwafina, who will voice Sisu or Shiju, the Last Dragon. And Cassie Steele, who voices the lead character. Raya meets Sisu when she is in human form, when she is not the dragon hero Raya is looking for. Steele points out, the fans were treated to an exclusive 3-minute piece from the dazzling film, which explores themes of community and hope and is inspired by the beautiful and diverse cultures of Southeast Asia. Raya and the Last Dragon opens in U.S. theaters November 25th, 2020. Well, that all sounds interesting. I mean, I'm sure people are going to make comparisons to Mulan, but, you know, we'll see how this all goes when it comes out next year. And the next one up is Pixar's Onward. Director Dan Scanlon shared the new film Onward is based on his personal experience growing up. My brother and I lost our father at a young age. Ouch. And I've always wondered who my dad was and how I was like him. Those questions become a roadmap for the film. He explained, the film stars Tom Holland and Chris Pratt as two teenage elf brothers, Ian and Barley Lightfoot. Barley is super confident, Ian is less so. Give you three guesses who's going to voice who. The brothers embark on an extraordinary twist with Barley's beloved Van Guinevere serving as a mighty steed, as they set out to discover if there is still a little magic left in the world. Holland and Pratt took to Hall D23 stage to thunderous applause. The last time we were here, we were like space buddies fighting on Titan, and now we're elf buddies fighting in LA, Holland joked. Emmy winner Julie Louis-Dreyfus, who previously voiced Princess Atta in the Pixar film A Bug's Life, voices their mom. It was really fun to play an elf mom for these two bozos here, Louis-Dreyfus laughed, before introducing an 8-minute clip from the film. The audience also received an exclusive poster for the film, which opens in U.S. theaters March 6, 2020. Now, Talking about losing their father at a young age, and that's the roadmap of the movie. If it's gonna be that kind of story, then Jesus Christ, they're gonna tear me apart. Because a lot of movies, when they use themes and elements like that, I become a wreck. Because as I've spoken with other people close to me in real life, ever since my father passed away 7 years ago, certain films that have little things like that affect me differently than how they used to. So this is definitely gonna be one that's most likely gonna fuck me up pretty good. But hey, we'll see. And the next one up is another Pixar film. It's Soul. Doctor is a director of Soul, a film that journeys from the streets of New York City to the never-before-seen cosmic realms and the U Seminar, the fantastical place where we all discover our unique personalities. According to Doctor, the film asks the qu ultimate questions: why am I here? Where did I come from? What am I here for? The film's producer, Dana Murray, co-director and writer Kemp Powers, and writer Mike Jones joined Doctor on stage to share a sneak peek of the film. They revealed that globally renowned musician Jon Batiste is writing original jazz music for the film, and Oscar winners Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, the social network from Nine Inch Nails, will compose an original score that will drift between the real and soul worlds. That's an interesting Trent Reznor doing a Disney movie. The filmmakers also introduced Disney fans to the voice cast of the intriguing, not to mention stunning, new film. Jamie Foxx stars as Joe Gardner, a middle school band teacher whose true passion is playing jazz, while Tina Fey is 22, a soul in training who has an unexpected encounter with Joe when he accidentally finds his way to the U Seminar, where the filmmakers revealed she has spent a very, very long time. Together, they embark upon finding a way to get Joe back to Earth, making him think again about what it truly means to have a soul. Rounding out the cast and joining Fox and Faye are Amir Questlove Thompson as Curly, Felicia Rashad as Liba, and David Diggs as Paul. Disney and Pixar Soul opens in U.S. theaters June 19, 2020. Oh, sounds like an interesting movie. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm just really thrown off that Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross are going to be doing the music for a Disney film. I love Nine Inch Nails, and the music that they produced for the Social Network was great. Gosh, it won them an Oscar. And the fact that they're doing a Disney movie now just intrigues me so much. I'll definitely check that one out. Another movie that we have on here, this one is a Disney Plus exclusive film. It's Noelle. The holidays kick off early as stars Anna Kendrick and Billy Eichner unveil a trailer for the film that will premiere on Disney Plus on November 12th. Anna Kendrick told Disney fans, "I've always wanted to be in a Christmas movie. My family and I have movies that we watch every year. We watch The Muppets Christmas Carol," which that is one of my favorites. "We know all the words, and the idea that I have the opportunity to be in a movie that could be something that families watch together this Christmas, and it becomes part of their tradition, and they have favorite scenes, and they can't wait to put it on, is just so amazing, and I was so happy to have the opportunity." In the upcoming holiday comedy, Kris Kringle's daughter is full of Christmas spirit and holiday fun, but wishes she could do something important like her beloved brother Nick, who will take over their father this Christmas. Take over from their father, rather, for this Christmas. When Nick is about to crumble like a gingerbread cookie from all the pressure, Noelle suggests he take a break and get away. But when he doesn't return, Noelle must find her brother and bring him back in time to save Christmas. Billy Eichner and Anna Kendrick, I am fans of both of them. Billy Eichner, especially for his Billy on the Street show, one of my favorites, and just a brilliant show if you've never seen it before. And Anna Kendrick, I've been a fan of hers for a long time. I was first introduced to her through the Twilight films, which, goddamn those films. But she is a much better actress outside of that, from the movie Up in the Air with George Clooney. And what's the other one? The 50-50 movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I think it's called 50-50, where he has cancer, and that there's like a, and I think she plays his therapist in the movie. I really liked her in that. Into the Woods, I loved her in that one as well. And she, I just love her. I really do. So, she just seems like such a lovely person to hang out with in real life, you know? And she is a very good singer. Pitch Perfect. I don't know how I forgot those. She of course she Pitch Perfect is her most famous work. So I look forward to seeing what kind of shenanigans they get involved in here. And the other one from Disney is Monsters at Work. It's the new series from Disney Television Animation. It takes fans back to Monstropolis, where they'll meet a new cast of monsters, including Tyler, played by Ben Feldman, and Millie, played by Aisha Tyler. I love Aisha Tyler. In the series inspired by Disney and Pixar's Oscar-winning feature film Monsters, Inc., Monsters at Work will feature special appearances from the film's beloved buddies, Mike and Sully, who will again be voiced by Billy Crystal and John Goodman. Hell yeah, I love that. Today, Feldman and Tyler shared a special look at their characters with fans and revealed that the series takes place immediately after Monstropolis makes the switch to Laugh Power, as Tyler, a Monsters U alum who graduated Scarum Cum Laude, has to find his way through this new world of laughter. If you've seen the previous films, Monsters University and Monsters, Inc., of course, Monsters University is how Mike and Sully end up at Monsters, Inc., and then Monsters, Inc., awesome, great film. Little Boo, I love her, she's my favorite. At the end of the film, that they change it from that their city, or that their That the city is powered by the screams of the kids that they scare, instead to by the laughter of the kids that they entertain. So that's gonna it's gonna be an interesting one to see how the story progresses from that jumping off point of, that they're powered by laughter, and now this person who wanted to who grad who went to school to become a scarer is now having to, I guess, like rethink his path. Didn't say when it's gonna premiere, but definitely gonna check that out because can't go wrong with Billy Crystal and John Goodman and Aisha Tyler. And this one that really surprised me and didn't even know that I wanted to see this is Lizzie McGuire. Hilary Duff made a surprise appearance to reveal that she is reprising her iconic role of Lizzie McGuire in an all-new series from Terry Minkski, who created the original show. Hey, Boogie. Sorry, I got distracted by my cat, my little fur baby. Anyways, it is so great to be home, Duff enthused before revealing details about the upcoming series. The good news is, just like me and everybody who loved Lizzie and grew up with her, Lizzie's all grown up. She's older, she's wiser, and she has a much bigger shoe budget, which is super exciting. She has her dream job, she has kind of the perfect life right now. She's working on as an apprentice to a fancy New York City decorator. She has her dream guy who owns a cool Soho restaurant. She has her dream apartment in Brooklyn, and she is getting ready to celebrate her 30th birthday. Her life sounds pretty ideal, but Duff reassured fans she's still dealing with that 13-year-old no-holds-barred animated Lizzie that constantly babbling in her adult Lizzie head. I did watch the show when it was originally on the original Lizzie McGuire. I'm not ashamed to admit that. It'll be interesting to see how they revisit that world with her as an adult now. And if the rest of the cast is going to come back, I'm curious about as well. I'm sure, Disney forks out enough money, they're going to bring, they'll come back. And the other one is Muppets Now. There's in news that might make you, that in news that makes you say, "Hi ho." Didn't make me say how. The Muppets are coming to Disney Plus. Kermit the Frog, Miss Piggy, and the gang will appear in their first ever unscripted short film series. I don't know how it's going to be unscripted. Muppets Now. In a special teaser, Kermit revealed that the show will be full, excuse me, will be full of unexpected fun things But that's all that Joe from Legal would allow our favorite frog to say, at least for now. How a show with the Muppets is going to be unscripted, I have no idea. But I'm intrigued by that concept, so we'll see. I mean, I wish their show that they had on ABC a couple of years ago wasn't canceled, because I actually really liked it. But, you know, the ratings weren't there, so they had to cancel it. Yeah, but then again, there's other shows that just are complete garbage that they keep, like, you know, Bachelorette and all that. But anyways, yeah, the concept intrigues me. I don't know how they're going to make it work, but hey, we'll find out whenever that one shows up. Next up, we have the Jungle Cruise. And no, it's not an actual cruise. Taking the stage to present Disney's upcoming live-action releases, Sean Bailey, which that answers the question from who Bailey was, President Walt Disney Studios Motion Picture Production, that's a long name, told fans, we have gone deep into the jungles to find the inspiration for one of our next big adventures. In fact, we've gone all the way to the back up to the backside of water. Not sure what that means. One of the biggest movie stars of the moment made the biggest entrance in the morning as Dwayne Johnson sailed into Hall D23 on a jungle cruise boat. We wanted to make a movie that was big, that was epic, that had romance, big comedy, big action, but most importantly, it's got me, Johnson said, and he surprised fans with a trailer for Jungle Cruise showing off his character, Riverboat Captain Frank Wolf, in theaters July 24th, 2020. Now, I'm sure some people might think, like, wow, the Rock's doing a Disney movie? I mean, he's done a few Disney movies already. Tooth Fairy, Game Plan, I think Planet 51 was a Disney movie. I'm not really sure, though. But yeah, he's done Disney movies before, so this is not a complete out-of-the-ordinary thing for him. It's just, you know, kind of surprising, especially with the last few films he's done, that he, you know, Hobbs and Shaw, the San Andreas, the Rampage, all these, like, high-impact action films, and now he's, you know, doing a Disney action film, so... And hey, I'm sure it'll make $1 billion. It's because it's, you know, Disney just kicking ass at the box office this year, so we'll see. And I guess they're going to continue that next year. Again, July 24th, 2020, Jungle Cruise, starring The Rock, and Emily Blunt as well. She's in the movie. So, cool. And then last on the Disney list that I have up here is Encore. And the description says, self-described music theater junkie Kristen Bell debuted a trailer for Encore, a series that brings together former classmates of High School Musicals for the most entertaining high school reunion we can possibly imagine as we watch them recreate their original performance years after they last performed it. For me, musical theater in high school was the time that I discovered who I was. I wouldn't be standing here today if it weren't for my musical theater club, Bell shared. Encore will celebrate real people. Extraordinary talent is not the point. Professional talent is not the point, said Bell. We are taking former high school music theater casts and reuniting them, anywhere from millennials to baby boomers, getting them back on stage for their encore performances, streaming on Disney Plus November 12th. That's an interesting concept. I'm not sure how original it is. I think I've heard of other shows that have done pretty much the same thing, but it's Kristen Bell, and I love Kristen Bell, so I'm guessing she's going to be the host of it, or organizer, or whatever the fuck you want to call it. I guess I'll check this one out, see if I like it, if it'll become one of my favorite shows from Disney Plus. So we shall see. We shall see. And last, we have the miscellaneous category, which really only have one thing to talk about, and that is the new show. It's called The World According to Jeff Goldblum. And as it reads, the mind of actor Jeff Goldblum has to be a pretty fascinating place to visit. And we'll get to do just that in this new series from National Geographic. Today, Goldblum, the series star and host, previewed a first trailer for The World According to Jeff Goldblum, where nothing is ever as it seems. Side note, just to me, speaking right here, you should all check out the video from Variety that's on Twitter, and I believe it's on their YouTube channel, where they asked Jeff about the Spider-Man situation with Sony and Disney, and his response is just pure Goldblum. trust me, you'll love it. But yeah, the world traveling show with Jeff Goldblum, and he's another one that I'm a big fan of. I've been a fan of his since first time I remembered watching him in anything was The Fly, which is brilliant, brilliant film, a great movie. And then when I, of course, the Jurassic Park, Lost World Jurassic Park. He was in Thor Ragnarok as well, and he's done a lot of other TV shows. I know he was in Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom for like 15 minutes most, I think, or 10 minutes, I don't know. Which is, I mean, because the marketing for the film, they really promoted the hell out of it, him being in the movie, but he was only in it for about 10 minutes. And also when I was in 7th grade, I believe, that I had a class project where I had to do a report on the book Sleepy Hollow. That in addition to the book, I watched the movie Sleepy Hollow that starred Jeff Goldblum as Ichabod Crane from the 80s, where he was a much, much skinnier Jeff Goldblum than, even skinnier than he is now. And he's pretty damn skinny. But like now he's a more fit skinny. I don't know why I'm going on about how he looks. But hey, Jeff Goldblum's a pretty damn charming guy, so I'm sure this is gonna be a very, 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 very entertaining show. And I will definitely check it out whenever that premieres. But again, do yourself a favor and check out that Variety interview with Jeff talking about Spider-Man, because it is just magical. And that does it for this edition of the Minute Tights podcast. I hope you all enjoyed listening and heard some stuff that you might have liked or didn't like, but if at least thank you for tuning in at least, because I like when my numbers are up. I don't know what I'm gonna do for the podcast next week. I don't even have a subject right now. But in 2 weeks I'll have my Clash of Champions predictions, so be on the lookout for that. And also, please check out my retro film reviews that I have on here as well for the 1994 Lion King, for Masters of the Universe, The Adventures of Baron Munchausen, and there'll be many, many more of these coming very, very soon. I have a whole list of them that I gotta go through. And also check out my worst to best segment that I recently premiered, where I rank the Spider-Man films, and I'll have more of those in the coming months as well. And as always, please don't forget to subscribe to the Minute Tights podcast on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Castbox, Radio Public, YouTube, and follow me on Twitter at I Am Fossitude for all podcast updates. And follow me on Instagram to enjoy some of the pictures I post on there. And follow me on Vero at Fossitude, Instagram at Fossitude. On Vero, I post pretty much anything and everything. So check me out on there, you'll have fun. And as I always say, Vero is the least dramatic social media site and app that you would ever join. So if you hate the drama, join Vero. And please support the Men in Tights podcast by donating on Patreon if you would like to help improve the overall quality of the brand and help contribute to my Hall of Justice, my little makeshift recording studio, and the show overall. And it's only a $5 a month patron. And with that, you get to contribute to the podcast itself with your ideas and your creativity, including suggesting podcast ideas, segments for me to do between the full podcast. If you want to contribute to my retro film reviews or contribute to the worst of the best, or even suggesting merchandising ideas, and I'll do all of that because if you're part of my Hall of Justice, that is my promise and obligation to you guys. And the link to that will be in the description. And speaking of merchandise, please check out the official Minute Tights podcast store. I have five shirts are available currently right now, available in several colors: t-shirt, play t-shirt, long sleeve shirt, tank top, baseball shirt, kids t-shirts, stickers, and wall art as well. Working on getting more shirts of it and other little bits of merchandise available on there as well. The link to that will be in the description too. And as always, thank you all so much for tuning in and for subscribing. I love and appreciate every single one of you who do. I really do. I really, truly, and I genuinely do. And I hope you all enjoy your weekend and spend it with your loved ones if you can. And if you have to work, hopefully, it'll go by smoothly for you. This has been the Men in Tights podcast. I am Julian, and I will see you all next time.